WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively into another Wise Conversation, into the summer months, and into Don Mohler's favorite segment of the week. We call it the Recom, where we get together and talk about things past, present, and future. Sometimes we fight a little bit and gripe a little bit and complain a little bit. It's summertime, the vaccine thing, the Orioles, the Ravens, we get NBA champs, all of this stuff's going on, Don. But for me, like, I'm looking forward to football season. I mean, that's going to normalize things for me. Kids going back to school, football season. We got football players back on the field next week. I feel like life could get normal again.
Well, you know, Nestor, that's the hope, is it not? You know, and we thank, as we always do, right? We always thank our sponsors at Fadley's and State Fair and Mower and Gary Realtors. We got our good friends out there at KO Public Affairs and these Wise Conversations. I'm not leaving anybody out. I mean,
yeah, there's 42 sponsors currently.
9 million sponsors.
So you can go through them all. But, the Crab Cake Tour is coming together, too. So it's Royal Farms, it's Chicken Palooza. So they're going to, I thought about this the other night, like, where am I going to eat on this trip? And I'm like, well, I got crab cakes. And I'm like, oh man, Wise Markets on the Eastern Shore in Western Maryland. I got Royal Farms. I can stop and get chicken. I can gas up. So I'm taking this very seriously, you know, like trying to get the right crab cake in the right places with the right people and all that. I don't think there's any wrong way to do this. And as I've said to Jen, we're not spending enough time in Southern Maryland. We're not spending enough time in Deep Creek Lake that, like, we can go back. That's the good news. I just realized Deep Creek Lake from my house is only 2 hours and 45 minutes. I thought it was like five hours.
I've told you there is, I'm not a gambler. I'm not Kenny Rogers, right? You got to know when to hold them and fold them. But I am, if I were a gambler, I'd be putting everything in on the fact that Jen is going to fall in love with Western Maryland and Deep Creek Lake. I mean, she'll be walking those trails and soaking in nature. You'll look at this lake and your mind will explode, and the ski slopes and
I've never seen it. I've seen the map and now I've looked at the pictures. And this was the weekend where it got real for me. You know this. I mean, we're working together on booking various guests. Heather Mazier is going to join us in Chestertown. Donna Edwards is having a crack. The guests we've had on, right? In addition to political analysts, political figures, real politicians, former politicians, wannabe. Like, we're going to go around the state and talk about water. We're going to talk about transportation. We're going to talk about crabs. We're going to talk about farming, agriculture, Trump, Biden. We're going to talk about all of that. But the part for me that's gotten real is Google allows this, and it's first time in the history of mankind, Don, right? I can literally zoom in on the map, zoom in on the restaurant, zoom in on what their crab cake looks like. I can see whether they serve it fried or I can see what kind of fries they serve. I can see what kind of rub they have on their crabs. So I get to pick these places I go. And here's a dirty little secret. I know it's a 30-30 tour, but much like they do in New Orleans. Are you familiar with the term lanyap? Do you know what lanyap means?
Lanyap, I am not.
Lanyap is a Cajun term. It's a term you hear in New Orleans. It's the baker's dozen. The lanyap is that little something extra they give you. You know,
I get 13 donuts instead.
I got seven ears of corn from Joe Bartenfeld the other day instead of six, right? So it's the lanyap. So here's the deal. I'm calling it a 30-30 crab cake tour. I have already figured out that there's going to be, maybe to honor Eddie Murray, at least 33 crab cakes. I don't know, because there are going to be days where I have two crab cakes because I'm in Southern Maryland and there's like eight places to go and I can only pick two or three because I'm only there 2 days.
So, well, for example, and it's funny, Nestor, I was at an event for Baltimore County Council Chair Julian Jones last night, and it was a cast of thousands.
I saw you at the Wrecker, weren't you?
At the Rec Room out there on the patio in beautiful Towson. Shout out to Brian Wrecker and Kelly who keep that place running. I love the Rec Room, love the patio. And there was some buzz about your crab cake tour. You know, it's picking up momentum. And one of the discussions, Nestor, with folks last night at the event, And I think we're all going to be tuning in to see how this goes, is whether after about day 10 or 11, you are really struggling to get through another crab cake.
Will you be crab caked out? No, well, this is interesting because my wife, Tuesday night, my wife's been gone 2 weeks. She's climbing mountains up in New Hampshire, family wedding. She was home. And we have nothing in the fridge because I've cleaned everything out. I haven't been over to State Fair lately. Usually I go over there and get some Brussels sprouts, whatnot. Last time she went away, I got a bookmaker over at Franco's with Lou Winecamp because my cat loves the shrimp. It's true. And I have to figure out how he makes those shrimp. my cat won't eat any of the shrimp.
Yeah,
I said to my wife on Tuesday, and I'm like, don't shoot me, but I'm really in the mood for a crab cake. Like she's like, no, you're not. And I'm like, I really am because I've been looking. Don, I have looked. I'm not kidding you. You let's have some fun with this because for those people that do follow us and do watch, I'm going to go behind the scenes here, okay? I'm going to take everybody a little behind the scenes on my Google Map journey. This is my little Google Map, okay? So you have your places here, and there's a little special crab cake tour. You see that? Now, what I want you to do is every one of these blue flags on this map is a crab cake place, Don. Now you see this? How beautiful is this? So I started so my dear friend, Scott Chambers, runs Pedal Fun over on York Road. He tells me about Suicide Bridge Restaurant because his family grew up in Federalsburg near Caroline County. I had a hard time finding a crab cake near Denton, but I got Suicide Bridge here. I found a carnival. Someone told me about the Sharpstown Fireman's Carnival on the border of Delaware that I'm going to go. There is a place across the border called the Barnhill Preserve of Delaware that actually has kangaroos. You can go pet the kangaroos. Do you think my wife's not going to pet the kangaroos?
Listen, I'm telling you, we're looking at a Discovery Channel special here. We're going to have, you know, I think it's like one of those old MPT sort of.
I'm doing that. Now, you know about the Frostburg Flyer, right?
You know about the train? Absolutely.
I've never done that. Now, here's where the tour. I'm going to peel back the onion for everybody here a little bit this week on a recon with you, Don. When I was doing all of my daily planning, everything orange there, by the way, indicates that I get to sleep at home. I'm trying to sleep at home for some of this. Go west, go east, go south, sleep home, do the DC suburbs by sleeping home, take Tom Perez to a game, have a Jimmy's crab cake, stay home, that sort of thing. I thought I was doing the Frostburg Flyer on a Wednesday. It's closed on a Wednesday. I thought I was doing the Harriet Tubman visit over in Cambridge. Closed on Monday. So there's
you and Wes Moore are going to try to hook up down there.
Yeah,
right?
There's certain days, and it's COVID, it's summer, it's all of that. We're like, you have to be careful. So the Frostburg Flyer, I now have to do that on a Friday because it's not open on a Wednesday. And I have to do it because I saw it on MPT years ago, right? Like, I'm like, if I ever go to Cumberland, that's the thing I'm going to do.
Sure.
So I'm going to do it. And I had to move Wednesday. I just did this the other day. But the interesting part is I Google all these places and I zoom in and I see their crab cakes and I see the marshland. Don, I'm a geography nut. Right? Like I love geography. I have never looked at the Maryland map in my life and the fingers of the tributaries on both sides of the bay, the Nanticoke, the Wye, the Potomac, all of these rivers. The Chop Tank. I drive across them on 50. I don't stop. Sometimes I'd stop at Hardee's and get a sandwich when I was a kid or something. But like, I've never been off 50. I've never been to Oxford. I've never been to any of these places. The Blackwater Refuge. I thought that was 50 miles off the highway. It's right there. I've never, ever done any of this stuff. So I'm really, I mean, truly excited about it. My wife's like, you're really getting excited about this.
Well, I'm going to give you another little challenge to think about is that I think there is in this tour an opportunity because you're a good photographer. Jennifer is a good photographer to really capture the state and think about putting it together as
a coffee table book,
Crab Cake Tour 2021, something that everybody would have on their coffee table. Has very little narrative. It just has pictures of this great state. And I think that would be fun. I think it would be relatively easy to do. And everybody is tuning in and they cannot wait for the Maryland Crab Cake Tour.
Can I get some free love to one of your favorites? Baltimore Magazine, that story is now online. So it was last month, and we had Ron on. That story on crabs and crab cake. It's right. The story Damie Hahn's been telling me at Fadley's for years, right? Bill and Nancy Devine have told me. We had Jack Brooks on from Clayton last summer telling us about what's going on the Eastern Shore with pickeries. And now it's come home to roost, right? Because you go over to Wise Markets, you want to buy a pound of Maryland crab meat, it's $50.
And everybody that we've talked with, Nestor, right, in the restaurant business, you know, I saw John Shields at Gertrude's. I saw a little thing yesterday online where he's mixing his crab meat with tofu. And I like John. I've met him several times. I actually thought about calling him to say, is that related to cost or is it something else? Because John does creative things in general anyway in his kitchen. But I thought it's probably a reaction to the cost. I mean, when we sat at G&M, you could see the pain in their face, right, with the owner in terms of the cost of crab meat. So hopefully,
well, that's for everybody. That's true when I talked to Marcella over at Coco's about Brandon right. Scott coming. I mean, Nick and Pete, I was at Costas last week. I mean, we had a real, you know, tragedy with the storm on Saturday night, knocking out the Johnny O show we had on Monday at Costas. But my friends at Costas, my friend Chad at Al's, his family over at Hooper's right. Island, I'm going to meet them. So I'm meeting friends, families on this trip. Your son went to school at St. Mary's. I ain't never been to St. Mary's City. I never been to Solomon's or Point Lookout.
I told you, you have to go get a drink in the legendary Green Door. You're going to pull up and you're going to say, what in the world? Where are Don and Jeff sending me? And you and Jen will, you know, feel like you have to wash your hands a little bit, but get a little St. Mary's culture in the Green Door. But hey, Nestor, while we are on food, what is it with you and yellow watermelons? I mean, you have got a thing. Yellow watermelons and peaches, man. On your
have you ever had a yellow watermelon?
I don't think I have.
Well, then you just don't.
Well, that's why I'm asking. I'm asking. I'm not
criticizing. My wife weren't working in the other room. I got a giant square in the fridge right now that it needs to be eaten, or it's gonna, you know.
Well, all right. Educate our listener. Here's my question for you: does it taste like a red watermelon that we're all familiar with?
Let me tell you the history of gold watermelon as I know it. Okay. And you know what? I'm going to give you a little visual because I'm a visual guy here. And I'm getting together with Dick Cass here later this week. And it's, you know, it's football season and hope abounds. The first time I ever had or discovered a gold watermelon was here. So every year in August, the preseason games stink. You know this because sometimes you don't even go to them, right? So I was with you probably at a preseason game with my wife, and I go down to the press box there, and every year in August, there's two lousy football games. Every year in August, I go to them, and every year I wind up in the second half. My wife's like, I'm going home. This game sucks. They wind up putting a bunch of guys out that don't play. The stadium's empty, you know. I went down to the buffet maybe 7-8 years ago, right around the time Jen got ill. It's been in the last 8 or 9 years, I'd say. And I saw it on the buffet there, and I'm like, the hell is that? I mean, it's like yellow. It's bright, bright gold. It looks like pineapple. It looks like a ripe pineapple. And you look at it and I'm like, what is that? And I remember the gal there says, that's watermelon. I'm like, I never had a yellow watermelon. Give me that. Nobody would touch it. Nobody knew what it was. You know what I mean? So there's a lot of it there. And it's watermelon. So it's like, I'm like, that's the greatest thing I've ever tasted in my life. Like,
no, man, you're if yellow watermelon were a political candidate, you're like its number one donor. You love you some yellow watermelon.
Well, it has to be ripe. So, I mean, like Chip Namius, the old PR director from the Houston Oilers, my Oilers, he's a Facebook friend. He sends me a text in the middle of the night the other night. He's like, I got this gold watermelon in Florida because of you. It better be good. And I'm like, dude, I don't know, you know, I just know gold watermelon's good, right? I mean, I can tell you fried chicken's good, but if you don't get it at Royal Farms, it might not be good, right? And you know, tell everybody the secret of good fried chicken.
Oh, man, I told you. Cast iron pot, flour, buttermilk, double dip. Make sure it's done. Get the oil hot enough, but it is the cast iron skillet.
Well, you know, I'm going to have the taste test on the Eastern Shore because there's some places, there's a Red Roost over near Chrisfield that's famous for their fried chicken. It's Chicken Palooza month. So I may have a little Chicken Palooza, you know, throw down on the Eastern Shore too.
Well, hey, I mean, fried chicken and crab cakes and steamed crabs. I mean, that we throw in a little yellow watermelon and your white peaches, which you love. We got a summer.
No, I don't do white peaches. I'm yellow. I don't like white peaches at all.
I thought you were a white peach guy.
No, they're tart. No. God, they snuck some white ones onto my thing at the farmer's market last year. I brought them home. It was a bad week. I got home and cut into the first, and I'm like, this is a prime week in July with white peaches. Who would eat a white peach when you could have a yellow peach?
Well, this has all been upbeat, and we've been doing a lot of food, a lot of crab cakes. But Nestor, I want to go back to something you said, because these stories all really come together, and they're not all really uplifting and encouraging. And it refers to, you talked about how excited you're getting about the NFL. I certainly read everything that's online every day about the Ravens. You know, they're picked as one of the best organizations, one of the top three teams over the next 3 years, and anything you want to look at. But in the midst of this, and there's so much happening right now in the country, but in the midst of this, there was an article that came across my feed this morning that fewer than 50% of the Philadelphia Eagles are vaccinated. And give me a second, and then you can jump in, because I'm going to try to connect a lot of dots. So that came across. Head scratcher for me. Then I see that cases are up more than 100%, more than 100% in 22 states. And then I see that 99.2% of people in the hospital due to COVID are unvaccinated. And I've watched with interest over the past few days and trying to sort it out, as there's been a dramatic shift at Fox News, that echo chamber, and some elected officials like Steve Scalise and others, as to them getting very, very vocal about the need to get vaccinated. For example, you know,
this is moving further and further away from the orange leader who is vaccinated, but doesn't want everyone else to die at this point, because it's part of his twisted psychotic personality that we saw on display all of his lifetime. And now he's yesterday's news, and the Republicans can't get away from whatever he wants. Fair. And realizing that idiots like Rand Paul, by the way, boy, that pants dropper took him behind the woodshed.
Yeah, he did, and he shut Paul up. I mean, Rand Paul's a fool. I mean, I don't try to speak in those kind of terms often on the Recon or on the show, but Rand Paul's a fool. He's always been a fool, and quite honestly, yesterday, and obviously, Fauci wouldn't do that without having an okay from the Biden administration. I think they've had enough of his madness as well. Fauci just said, if anybody's lying, it's you. And it was, as you said, it was a mic drop moment. I'm assuming, Nestor, I want to get back to the Eagles for a minute, why I think it matters. I'm assuming that someone close, I could be wrong, you know, God, nobody's been more critical of Sean Hannity than me. He does tremendous damage each and every night. I'm assuming someone that Sean Hannity cares about got pretty sick. You know, I just saw this morning, you know, Barry Sims from WBAL Channel 11. Barry's a great guy. I've known Barry Sims for...
I don't think Sean Hannity gives a rat's ass about friends or relatives. I think this is legal people at the top of Fox News and Mitch McConnell and all of them realizing that it's tied to money and it's tied to the stock market. And if the economy goes away in 3 months and we all get locked down, we're familiar with that.
Let me go back to why I think you're wrong.
Sean Hannity had a change of heart? Sean Hannity's one of the worst individuals on earth.
You going to let me finish?
Yeah.
Okay, so Barry Sims posted today on Facebook, and I didn't realize Barry had been very, very sick in the hospital with COVID. And Barry, anybody that knows Barry, he's physically fit. He works out. So here's a relatively young guy that got very, very sick with COVID. To answer your question about Fox, and I am going to circle back to the Eagles as to why I'm worried about what it means. Sean Hannity, Brett Baier, others came out. Scalise gets vaccinated publicly. Tucker Kavanaugh then goes on to berate all of them and say to people, don't listen to any people on TV telling you what to. So Tucker's going to go down that rabbit hole as long as he can, spreading misinformation about vaccines. I believe at our core, Nestor, everyone is human. And if your wife or your children or your mom or your cousin gets sick with COVID, that prompts a and I have to believe, I mean, Sean Hannity didn't need it for ratings or anything. I've got to believe that Sean Hannity had a personal experience.
I hate when we are discussing Sean Hannity on this show. It's an insult to my audience. He's a clown on TV playing a wrestling role at this point. Because there's no truth, there's no science, there's no fact behind any of it. And the people that watch it are watching professional wrestling for fools portrayed as news. That's what it is.
With all that, he's one of the most important media figures in the United States of America for the past 10 or 15 years. I can't stand anything that Sean Hannity does, but that doesn't take away from the fact that he's one of the most significant voices in the American media. And when Sean Hannity looks into the TV and says, do me a favor, if you're watching this show, get vaccinated, I'm going to take that. I'm not going to look a gift horse in the mouth. Now,
it's amazing how much the Howard Beale Network thing 50 years later is real. I mean, it really speaks to how well written that thing was 50 years ago.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, it's a wonderful show, and Fox News knows how to push the buttons. They would suggest that MSNBC and CNN push other buttons. I don't think it's totally analogous, but I understand why they would say that. But going back to the Eagles, Nestor, this is the most irresponsible thing that I've seen, and I don't understand why the Players Association won't line up with the NFL and say, folks, we're going to make it pretty easy for you. If you're not vaccinated, you're not entering the business. Now, a number of judges have upheld recently employers having the ability to do that. I know the Players Union, because they have people of all different thoughts and minds throughout the league, are in a tough spot. But here's what's going to happen. Nestor, a number of those Eagles, if that fact is true, if fewer than 50% of the Philadelphia Eagles are not vaccinated, then they're going to get sick. And when they get sick, they're going to affect the competitive balance across the league. Now, what I think the league should do, and again, owners would have a heart attack, is I think the league should say, no games are going to be rescheduled. You're going to put a team out or you're not. And
well,
if you
they
don't
did
have,
that last year.
Well,
for the most
did
part.
They? Did they, though, Nestor?
We played a game on Wednesday afternoon. They had to get the game in.
No. What I'm saying is not postpone any games. Play it on the date it is scheduled. And if your team can't show up,
We saw that last year where you got a running back playing quarterback for a game. You know, then it becomes a sham. That's the one of the biggest disgraces in the history of the NFL that game was played.
Well, that's a great topic.
And that's just a fact, because that was not a competitive football game. It wasn't a real football game. It was fake. It was garbage.
Great topic for Dick. And when
I think one of the topics, and I talked to Leonard Raskin about this because he's our resident Republican here, and look, as the liberal guy watching, you know, MSNBC or CNN, we could say, well, you know, the Republicans have effed this all up and it is what it is. Before this whole thing started, African-Americans had pretty much had a long history of saying, we don't trust vaccination for whatever that is. And now we have a political party saying, we don't trust vaccination. That's where you get 60% of the people unvaccinated in Mississippi. You have a pretty toxic mix of a bunch of angry Archie Bunkers watching Fox, and you have an African-American population that's overwhelming, that's been reticent to do this through over 100 years because of what our country has done and how we have treated African-Americans, especially how we've treated vaccinations here, that vaccination has been given a, you know, a dirty, dirty word. I mean, I remember Pamela Anderson or Jenny McCarthy, some Playboy model running around being anti-vax 10 years ago. And I'm like, the hell is wrong with these idiots? Like, I remember Dr. Wells giving me my DPT shots and taking the little polio drink and doing all that stuff when I'm a kid. My parents would never have let me not be vaccinated. And I just thought like it was everybody in the school had to be vaccinated or Principal Moeller wouldn't let him into the school.
No. Well, that's true. I mean, that's fact. And I think the only thing, from what I understand, the only thing holding back school systems at this point is that, and I think County Executive Pittman indicated this, was that school systems are waiting for the FDA to move beyond the emergency authorization to the permanent authorization of COVID. And I think once that happens, we will see school systems making that a requirement. Listen, Nestor, children are going to get...
School systems make a requirement in a place where 80% of the people are anti-vax. Who's going to win that debate, Don? County?
I think if you can't put your children in... For example, I think there have been significant upticks in the vaccination rate for African-Americans as ministers and community leaders have gotten involved. I think what we're down to now... They're not all in one pot. There's obviously the anti-vaxxers. You know, you're never going, the Jenny McCarthy's and that crowd that's out there.
But I think there tends to be, at least this week, a notion that that's just all the Republicans. It's not.
No.
It is. All of these people have been getting vaccinations for Jen. They're not anti-vax. They're anti-Biden. They're pro-Trump. I mean, they've gotten vaccinations their whole life. They're 55-year-old white men. They've had every vaccination I did, and now all of a sudden they're pissed off politically. I don't understand that. Weird to me.
It's the hardest, and we will talk about it a lot. We're going to talk about it. We have the legendary Mark Steiner on later today. We'll talk to him about that. One of the strangest things that has happened, and this goes to one of the pots. As I said, it's not every pot. I mean, there's a group of people who just are really skeptical of science, and they don't understand. One of the big misunderstandings, Nestor, is that the mRNA vaccines, the Pfizer and the Moderna, have been in development for decades. People say, well, it was rushed through. People put that out on the internet. It's been rushed through. Well, no, these have been in development and being tested for 30 years, so they haven't been rushed through. But the point that I make is, to those people who are vaccine hesitant, and we know some of them, we love them, is that occasionally an airplane falls out of the sky, you still fly, right? Occasionally you get hit by lightning, you don't stay inside. The risk of going outside, the joy of going outside far outweighs the risk of getting hit by lightning. The joy and ease of being able to fly across country or to another country far outweighs the risk that the plane's going to go down. Same thing with the vaccines. But my concern is that with this Delta variant and others, that we're going to get, particularly in these, and it is, as you say, it's another stain on the record of the celebrity ex-president. You know, we call him CAP, celebrity apprentice president, is that he created this mindset, this anti-science mindset that's affected particularly these red states. I mean, my heart aches for the Louisianas and the Alabamas and the Mississippi.
Somebody that barely get out of high school, what chance do they have to understand how a vaccine works?
Well, yeah, they don't.
This speaks to education, and it speaks to wisdom, and it speaks to being smart enough to know who to trust, Anthony Fauci, who not to trust, Rand Paul. And that's never been more on display than the last year and a half. We're doing the recon, Don Mohler and I, all of it brought to you by our friends. Of course, Stay Fair. We're going to get back over there for some chicken and waffle sometime soon. Our friends at Fadley shipping crab cakes anywhere you are, still making the best crab cakes. I'm going to be on the road. Everywhere I go next month, they're going to be measuring up against the Fadley's crab cake, but I have seen many of them out on the road. Don, we got football season, baseball season around the corner in this this crab cake tour that I got going on. I learned, you know, the thing I hate the most in life's bugs. Do you know that? Like, and I'm a little worried about this because Western Maryland bugs. And I've just learned that if I go to Smith Island, bugs, lots of bugs.
I think the crab cake will trump the bugs. I think you'll be just fine. A little off, a little deet, whatever it happens to be. You know, as we come to the end, we have a lot to talk about. We didn't get to everything. I do have one. It's my grandsons give me a hard time. They say I worry about the Orioles, and I worry about Adley Rutschman. And as you can imagine, as our number one savior over the past month has hit just around the Mendoza line, he's hit about 200 for the past 4 weeks. I'm going, oh my Lord of mercy. Rutschman would not be the first can't miss prospect, right? He wouldn't be the first who actually ended up missing.
Well, he's a 1-1. So, like, there's a whole different level of 1-1. And I can go through the history of 1-1s. And, you know, back
some
when,
of them, well, some of them don't make it, right?
Well, I mean, back in the 80s, there was Brian Taylor and Ben McDonald, of course, is a famous 1-1. Right. Andy Bennis was a 1-1. Like, I think about Steve Strasburg was a 1-1, right? So, for pitchers, if their arm doesn't fall off, they don't get in a bar fight. You know, Gausman was close to that, right? When you're a top five, right, top 10 guy, and now he's blossoming, apparently again.
Amazing. Well, you know, what I did to make myself feel better, Nestor, I went back and I thought, I said, I think I remember I had the same worries about Manny. So I said, let me go back this morning before the recon and take a look. And sure enough, at Bowie, Manny only hit 266. At Frederick, Manny only hit 243. And at Delmarva, Manny only hit 276. So I thought, Manny turned out okay. Everybody still seems high on Adley. So I got my fingers crossed. Obviously, Rodriguez strikes out two guys every inning he pitches. As long as his arm doesn't fall off, you know, that will be okay. I got more excited, Nestor, as we wrap up this edition of
By the way,
before,
hold on. I want to talk about 1-1s here because I just looked them up here.
Yeah.
So let me read you some names of 1-1s. You ready? Let's start at the beginning of the century because that would give you a clear – it's not fair to read the 2018 right. number 1-1, right? So the history of 1-1s, let's go back to 2000. Adrian Gonzalez, pretty good player. Joe Mauer was never Johnny Bench, but a good player.
Really good player.
Brian Bullington.
Never heard of him.
Delmon Young.
Failure.
Matt Bush.
Although Delmon Young's not a failure. That's not too – he was average.
Justin Upton. Luke Hochichever. I can never say his name. Hochichever.
Never heard of him.
Well, he pitched for the Royals. David Price. He turned out okay. He got rich.
He was good.
Tim Beckham.
Good player, right?
Shortstop for the Rays. Right. Strasburg, obviously. Bryce Harper, Garrett Cole, Carlos Correa. They got better at it during that period of time.
Right.
Mark Apple, Brady Aiken, Dansby Swanson, Mickey Moniak, Royce Lewis, and now I'm up to 2018 and Casey Mize. So, you know, it is hit or miss, even with a 1-1. There's a lot of misses.
That's what I'm saying. There's some misses. Now, hopefully – Adley's not that, but you know, on the upside of baseball, I saw where Rob Manfred actually, first of all, he's got a little bit for you and then a little bit for me. I thought, Nestor's going to be happy and Don's going to be happy. I see where Manfred says that the league's going to take a look at doing away with two of your least favorite things, the 7-inning doubleheader and starting extra innings with a man on second.
These were really, really stupid ideas that should have never come out of the – it was like New Coke. It should have never been invented.
But then my number one, it looks as if there is momentum to do away with the shift. And I think that's the number one thing that will improve the game. My Lord, who knows? Chris Davis might even live again because the shift clearly killed Chris Davis. But to me, if you want to make the game look more traditional, let's do that. And we didn't even talk, Nestor. We're running way over. But was there a better sports story? You tweeted and posted about it. I tweeted. Was there a better story in 2021 than Trey Mancini in the Home Run Derby? I mean, if you didn't have a handkerchief or a Kleenex during that, you don't have a heart, man. That was spectacular stuff.
I think the other part of that was the other players. You know, I went to the DC game. They give you the placard, who you stand for. I stood for my wife. Obviously, we have some pictures of that, but they do that every year. It's become a tradition the last 15 years at the All-Star game, really, stand up for cancer, that they all stood up for Trey. So I thought that was for the Orioles to be so irrelevant and to have some relevance in the middle of the All-Star game. I mean, that's all you can hope for, especially for a good guy too.
Oh man, we were down the beach, and I can tell you that Team Moeller, all the kids were screaming and shouting and high-fiving. It was special. Hey, as we go out of here, Nestor, talk a little bit about your reaction and this. Do it. I know you have to do it briefly because we have to run. You were scheduled to go to the Nats game.
I was.
And they had a shooting outside the stadium. And all of a sudden, something I've never seen. People were running into dugouts, running on the field. I mean, it was chaotic. Give me your reaction when you heard the news.
I was well, first things first, Fred Uhlman runs the Padres. He's my friend. He's been my friend since for 30 years. I'm a Padres fan, sort of closeted, but I have my Tony Gwynn jersey. I was supposed to go down on Saturday night. I sort of picked it. The Padres were in Philly 2 weeks ago. They were in D.C. this week. Freddie was going to be in D.C. I said, I'll come on Saturday. Give me the day. I'll go down and get dinner, whatever. Michelle Jackman, Phil Jackman's daughter, was supposed to go with me. She's a huge Nationals fan. I thought of her, and I thought, yeah, I'll invite her. She'll go. She likes the Nationals. She called me on Tuesday and said, yeah, my daughter's getting married. There's a bachelorette thing. I really can't do the game. And I said, all right. Well, you know, Mueller's not going to go with me. He's getting back from the beach. I mean, who am I calling to get in the car and go to a Washington Nationals game that I know?
Fox, Len Foxwell. He'll go anytime you want to go. The greatest.
You know, I talked to Marty Conway about this week, and I said I should have called Marty because Marty would go. I don't have a lot of friends that go to baseball games anymore other than you. And the friends that go don't want me to go because I'm bad company to baseball game. So I didn't go. I decided not to go right away.
I don't want to go with you either. That's a good point. You know, I love you dearly. I may not want to sit at an Oriole game with you either because you probably would be bitching and moaning the entire time about the organization.
Because it's a disgrace.
I go out there to have fun.
It's a shell of what it's serving Sanka in a Royal Farms Cup is what it is to me.
I'll go to the Nats game with you, but I probably wouldn't ruin my Oriole experience.
Well, I understand that. That's fine. Well, you can come with Tom Perez and I later in the month. So here's the deal. I didn't go. And I've been working, you know this. I've been working sort of nonstop. Right? I haven't even stopped the shave, right? Because I'm going away with my wife. I've just been working. About 7:30 on Saturday night, I got tired. My eyes got tired. I put the game on TV, and I turned it off, and I went to bed at 8:30 on a Saturday night. I'm so exciting. I woke up at maybe 1 o'clock in the morning. The cat needed to be fed. And I grabbed my glasses and I grabbed my phone and I looked on my phone and it's a text from Michelle Jackman. It said, did you go to the Nationals game tonight? Or like it was more leading than that. Like you didn't go, did you, kind of thing. And Don, this is the baseball mind in me. This is 1 o'clock in the morning, half asleep. I've been asleep 5 hours. I had to pee. I had to feed the cat. I literally came out, grabbed my phone and I thought I missed a no-hitter, didn't I? Somebody threw a no-hitter.
Right.
Like, that's
right.
Exactly what
somebody hit four home runs.
Yeah, like, exactly. No, I thought it was a no-hitter because specifically to me, I've walked out of no-hitters. I've missed no-hitters. Right. The fact that I all summer was supposed to go to a game and didn't go, that means it was in line for a no-hitter. You know, like, and I looked down and I saw the game had been suspended because I went to my sports app first and I'm like, that's weird. I knew it would be, but it had been storming. And I thought, maybe somebody get hit by lightning. You know, like I really thought that's what happened at that moment. I thought, lightning, weather. No. Now my cat's being fed. I can't figure out the answer. It's 2 in the morning. I can't text anybody. I had to go to Twitter. Now I'm a reporter. Now I'm like, game suspended. Michelle's texting me. Wasn't a no hitter. Game was 8-6. Game was suspended. The hell happened? This is a 52-year-old American who's been to 1,000 baseball games. I didn't think that.
Right.
The next thing I saw was videos of people in that flight mode that I never want to be in. I never want to be there.
That was a terrifying scene. And as you and I discussed off air, it's a scene that's repeated. Forget that it was outside of a Nats game. It's being repeated far too often.
How about the little girl that said it was her second shooting? She's eight years old. She knew what to do.
Right. It's insanity. We'll talk much, much more about it on the next recon.
It's the biggest problem in the country right now, along with the lack of education. Stupidity is our biggest enemy. There's no doubt about that. And there's no doubt about that.
And it's polling that way. I mean, crime. People are really internalizing this crime thing. It's really interesting, but there's a disconnect. We'll talk about it next time between whether it's guns or not. And you and I certainly know it may not all be about guns, but a significant portion is about guns. And I get exhausted because we just don't have the stomach in this country to address that issue.
Well, Don, if you're at that baseball game and you've got your grandkids and your wife and your Jeff, whatever, ducking below seats at Oriole Park, like –
No, terrifying. But
no, yet, I mean, I saw the video, and I just want to say this because, like, I was shook up Sunday.
I thought that was
the plane I didn't get on because was I going to get shot? Probably not. Was I going to die? Probably not. I did not need that experience in my portfolio.
No, everybody running, Nestor, was pretty, pretty scared. As I said, we'll pick it up.
Well, you can hear the gunshots. Did you watch the video?
I did. I've seen it several times. It's unnerving.
Meanwhile, they were checking the pitcher for rosin or whatever.
Makes you sick to your stomach. And we've got to do something. But I'm going to suggest to you that a number of those people that crouch down below their seats with their grandchildren would not support any meaningful reforms to guns in this country. And that's what we have to talk about. So, again, it's crab cake time. We wrap up another recon.
Can you get me figure out like a netting for Smith Island? I'm really
be fine, man. Some deep.
Don't understand how much I don't like bugs. You did like Anita McCullough said that. Oh, I'm like, no. I will not go if I feel like it's that bad.
It's not going to be that bad. I'm saying just hit yourself with some deep and some off, and you'll be fine.
Apparently, these green-headed flies I've been Googling.
Oh, they're nasty. When they bite you, they hurt. They hurt.
Well, I don't want to be bitten. What can I do?
The other thing you can do, the other thing that actually works well, I have some friends. Come on, we got to get out of here. But I got friends who've lived on the New England beaches where they get inundated, evidently, with those green flies that bite. They swear by a little bit of Listerine in a spray bottle with water, and you spray yourself up with that, and they swear the flies will be all around and not come near the Listerine. So there you go. That's my tip to help you out.
Here's Don Moeller. I'm going to work on my Crocodile Dundee and work on my Outback look for Smith Island. That's as Outback as I'm going to go. Maybe Hart and Miller Island. I saw some fireworks there last week as well. On behalf of our friends at Wise Markets and another Wise Conversation, as well as our friends at State Fair, Fadley's, Moeller and Gary, all of our sponsors, we're on the road taking a crab cake tour out. He's Don. I'm Nestor. We are WNST AM 1570 Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking. Baltimore, positive.